الله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
These nights we've been trying to describe, go over and discuss some of the qualities of the companions of our 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif. We talked about obedience to the Imam, which is one of the key qualities of the companions of our Imam. We talked about piety. Now I want to read a verse of the Holy Quran that actually discusses the people that will be with the 12th Imam. I had read this verse a number of times. As we read the Holy Quran, we're supposed to go from cover to cover. Khatmul Quran, it's very recommended. But it attracted my attention when I looked at it with this perspective, and I looked at tafsir, and it was very interesting how this is related to the topic that we are discussing. It is Surah Ma'idah, verse 54. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the verses before this, talks about how one should not have the wilaya of the Christians and the Jews. What that means, I don't want to get into, but keep it in mind, we may need it at some point in time. There's a number of verses, by the way, that the Holy Quran discusses this idea that we're not allowed to take Christians and Jews and non-Muslims, the mushrikeen, the kuffar, as our awliya'. What does awliya' mean? Just keep that hanging in there. Think about it. Verse 54, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم. O those who believe, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ, whoever goes back from their religion, you believe but you turn away, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَ, Allah will bring in the future a people. Don't think that you are the ones necessarily that are going to be helping the cause of Allah. If you change course, if you decide not to follow the path, Allah has a promise. Sometime in the future, He's going to bring a people that will help the cause. What is this? It is referring exactly to the time where the 12th Imam is going to be coming. There will come a people that will help the cause of Allah and establish what Allah wants on the face of His earth. What are the qualities? Starts with this. يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. He loves them and they love Him. This first one, we've already discussed, but to make a connection between the verse and what we discussed before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I love them, or in the verse it's His words, He says, He loves them, referring to Allah. Who does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love? Does He just love anybody? Whatever they've done? Whatever wrong we've done, would still love us? No. It depends on what we do. If you have the right faith, we had that other verse in Surah Ali Imran. إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. If you love Allah, you want Him to love you, then you follow me, Allah will love you. That's the criterion. Follow the teachings of Islam, the Holy Prophet. In practice, and obviously the beliefs need to be there as well. So يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ is what we discussed in the last few nights. Taqwa, that practice. What is the next? أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. The relationship between the companions of the Imam, those people that will help the religion of Allah, the people that would help establish the law of Allah, the religion of Allah on the face of the universe, on the face of the earth, are going to be, their relationship with the mu'mineen will be different than the relationship that they have with the kuffar. And I think between us two, we do have a difference. The way Muslims in general, we treat the kuffar is different than the way we treat the mu'mineen. But let's see if that is actually based on what the Qur'an says and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says should be, or is it the other way around? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. What does أَذِلَّةٍ mean? أَذِلَّةٍ means they don't try to overpower, overrule, have the heavy hand over the believers. They feel that the believers are one of themselves. Not only that, but they're very humble and they have humility towards the believers. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When it comes to the believers, they're very nice. We have another verse that says about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Muhammadun Rasulullah walladhina ma'ahu. It has descriptions. One of them is ruhama'u bainahum. Amongst themselves, the believers, they have this quality of being nice to one another, having mercy on one another, treating one another good. Do we have that amongst ourselves? Or is it that when we're treating the non-Muslims, we have the big smiles, we're honest with them at work, we're always on time for work and school, but when it comes to treating one another, the believers, we promise and we break the promise. The program support is supposed to start at one time, but it doesn't, because we never come. We're constantly fighting one another. We don't have mercy on one another. On the kuffar, we probably have more mercy than we do on ourselves. And if you look at it from a political perspective, and the Muslim countries, and the rulers, those of us, of the believers, of the mu'mineen, of the Muslims, that have come to power, look at the way we're treating our people, and the way we're looking at the kuffar and the non-Muslims. It's the exact opposite of what you find in the verses of the Holy Quran. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It's okay if he said something that was wrong. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. But أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. The way they treat the kuffar, the non-believers, as it had before this, the Christians and the Jews, of course not the ones that are the مستضعفين, not the uninformed Christians and Jews that don't know what's going on. Some of us are very good at that. When they come to our messages, they want to learn about Islam, we have no trouble pushing them away. But when it comes to those who have power and wealth to push them away, we have a serious problem. What the verse says is this: the kuffar that it asks us not to have the wilaya of are those who have the power of kufr, which cannot and will not ever allow Islam to grow. If we think that any non-Muslim power is ever going to allow Islam to grow, we have not understood how the system of this universe is working. Okay. It's not. Don't be naive. The verse says that the believers, those who will be with the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, amongst themselves, amongst themselves, they have the quality of dhill. It's okay to put oneself down in treating a believer. It's okay. Even if they said accidentally, unintentionally, or mistakenly, or at one point they got angry and they said something that was rude, it's okay to put yourself down and say, "I forgive." For a believer. But for the kuffar, the establishments of power that are against the Muslims, no. You don't have any type of dhillah there. You don't put yourself down. You don't allow them to take control of you. That's the first quality that we see there. Then it says, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ means a lot. Part of it is the idea of sacrifice. Being able and willing to sacrifice in the way of Allah. Sacrifice, wealth, time, even the life in the way of Allah. This is the quality of those who will be with the 12th Imam. If you're not ready for it, brother and sister, if we're not ready for it, brothers and sisters, then we're not really calling for the Imam to come. We're not ready for the coming of the Imam. If we want to be those companions, this is how they are. Are you willing for it? Are you willing to do it? Are we willing to sacrifice? Are we willing to sacrifice the smallest amount of sacrifice that is possible? Sacrifice, brothers and sisters, is not when we give a little something, put a little something in the donation box for the masjid, or give a little charity here or there. Making big bucks and I put small amount, that's not sacrifice. If I think I'm giving in the way of Allah like that, that's what sacrifice is. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ. This is sacrificing in the way of Allah with my property. This is not sacrifice. Sacrifice has got to hurt. Sacrifice has got to be a loss. Not that it doesn't really make a difference. I could buy a coffee. Instead, I'll just throw that money in the box. Well, it's not really a sacrifice. Sacrifice is what we say in Ziyarat Ashura, if we really mean it, and some of the other Ziyarat. Say, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي. Some of the other ziyarat, بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي وَنَفْسِي وَأَهْلِي وَمَالِي. May my mother and father, myself, my family, my wealth be sacrificed for you. Willing to do that? Are we willing to, if it meant to be with the Imam in Karbala, that's what we would have to do. Leave the house, wife and children. Yeah, there's always a worry for those who are married. Before you get married, you have certain thoughts, certain occupations on your mind, we have them. And after we get married, we have other occupations, other thoughts. Are we willing to make the sacrifice, if it's necessary, to leave them? Or is the thought not going to allow us to work? They say some of the shuhada in the war between Iran and the Ba'athists, one of the things that they had between them and they would talk about would be this, that they would realize when a person is ready for shahada, if he was ready to detach himself from his family. There was this individual I got to know, his name was Majid Pazuki. He came to Qum one day, to our school. He was a war veteran. He had fought in the war. After the war, what they had was a lot of the bodies of the shuhada were left in the battlefields. They weren't able to retrieve them. There was a lot of mines and a lot of other problems why they couldn't retrieve these bodies. So what they started doing was to dig up the bodies, those that were buried. They hadn't gone through a burial process, but you know, over time they'd gotten buried. They would dig up the bodies and bring them back. This individual was part of the brigade that had that responsibility. He came to my school. That was the first time I saw him. We spoke. He was on his way from Tehran, where he lived, and he went to where his job was, back in the south, where he's supposed to dig up the bodies. And he had just purchased a house for his wife and kids. At that point, he said, I feel comfortable now. My family has a place. If I leave them, they're not going to be homeless on the street. He went to the battlefields where he had to do his job. A week later, I saw on the news he became shaheed. One of the mines exploded while he was working on it. Many of the other shuhada, Shaheed Himmat, they say the same thing about him. When he was able to detach himself from the love of his family, that's when he was ready for shahad and he became shaheed. The last trip he came home, his wife says this, there's a video that they've interviewed those who knew him. His wife said the last time he came, it was unlike the previous times. The previous times he would hug the kids, play around with them, but this time he was keeping a distance. When he went, that was the last trip. Are we willing to sacrifice? If you want to learn from our imams, do we know what sacrifice means? Sacrifice means watching the daughter of the Prophet being disrespected, and you hold back because of Allah. You have the power, the ability to stand up. You have the sword. You can. You think Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi wasn't able to fight? Can anyone say that? The champion of Khaybar, the champion of Badr and Uhud and Hunayn, can't fight? Any one of those guys a match for Ali? No. Because the right thing, sometimes the right thing is to stand up, to speak, to fight. Sometimes you have to keep quiet. Both are sacrifices. This is the sacrifice. Not just any family being sacrificed for Allah, the daughter of the Prophet. That's painful. But he was able to sacrifice. Imam al-Husayn in Karbala, in Ashura, he sacrificed everything he had for Allah and for the cause of Allah. In Medina, his brother, others, other than his brother, also, they all told him, why are you taking the women and children? It's not going to be an easy trip. The Imam, knowing what is going to happen, he was willing, was part of the sacrifice. The little sacrifices that we make, we're not even willing to do that. It's one of the qualities of the companions of the 12th Imam. The next trait that we have here, very, very, very important one. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They don't fear and they don't care about when people tell them what you did was wrong. They don't care what the people say, as long as what they're doing is right. This is a very, very important one, brothers and sisters. A lot of times, we don't make the right decision because we are afraid what the people would think, what my classmates would think. They would think it's not cool to do this. The youth would be struggling with that, peer pressure. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. A lot of times we make those decisions. We know what's right, we're not willing and able to make the right decision. Why? Because we're afraid what the people say. What the community members are going to say. What the society is going to say. Another quality that I want to give you from a hadith, a very important quality, is the quality of amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar. Those who want to be with the 12th Imam Ajjalallah Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahu.
Part of the movement of reform that is going to be reforming the whole universe have got to be willing that at their level, at their capacity, the amount of effect that they can have to stand up for what's right. If something that is right is not being done, or some wrong, some oppression is being done, we can't wait for the Imam to come then say, we want to reform. No. We're used to seeing things the way they are. We're not willing to stand up for. We're not willing to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. It was a hadith I saw for the first time, and it was amazing how relevant it is to these times. I'll try to make this brief, the explanations brief. Jabir al-Ju'fi apparently quotes Imam al-Baqir salamullah alayh saying the following. قال يكون في آخر الزمان. It describes the people of the end of times. Okay. Now towards the end of time, before the Imam comes, we have two options. We're either going to be preparing to be those that if the Imam comes, we're the companions, or we're going to be the other ones. Who are the other ones? It says, يَكُونُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ قَوْمٌ يَتَّبِعُ فِيهِمْ or يُتَّبَعُ فِيهِمْ قَوْمٌ مراؤون ويتقرؤون ويتنسكون حدثاء سفهاء. At the end of times, there's going to be a people that will follow a group of people that are muraun. They do things as riya. They portray themselves as mu'mineen and as believers practically, but they're not. يَتَقَرَّؤُونَ. They're reading the Holy Quran as though they really believe in it, but it's not really the recitation of the Holy Quran. يَتَنَسَّكُونَ. They go to Hajj, but it's not really Hajj. The essence of the religion is lost. It's just some rituals that are being done. And the reason why it's being done is to show these others that want to feel religious that this is where religion is, so they can come and they can fill those donation boxes and have a good revenue. A group of people on the end of times are going to be following another group of people, which the group that are being followed are this. They're doing riya'. They're portraying themselves as religious, but they're not really religious. Think, brother and sister, if you don't notice that going on around us, open your eyes and you'll see it very clearly. لا يوجبون أمرا بمعروف ولا نهيا عن المنكر. The purpose of this hadith, the Imam is trying to emphasize the importance of الأمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. He says these people that are being followed, they say you don't have to do أمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر. You don't, for the benefit of Islam in this country, don't speak about the establishment. No, it's... They're killing Muslims worldwide. Don't speak about that. You don't have a responsibility. Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi an munkar is not necessary. Yes, sometimes it is necessary. Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi an munkar. But when? Illa idha aminu al-dharar. If they're confident that there's no harm in doing so, they'll be out on the streets. Amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi an munkar. Demonstrate, that's fine. But if there's no harm. يَطْلُبُونَ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ الرُّخَصْ وَالْمَعَذِيرُ. They're always looking for loopholes. It's okay. No, there's no responsibility here. There's a loophole. This such and such marja has got this other law. Loopholes. Anything you say, any objection you make, there's an answer for it. Based on that, they'll change it for it to look like a case where we're allowed to do what they're trying to do. يَتَّبِعُونَ زُلَّاتَ وَزَلَّاتَ الْعُلَمَاءَ. These people at the end of times will be following the misguided of the ulama. I'll talk about that later in another session. وَفَسَادَ عَمَلِهِمْ. They follow their corrupt stooges, as some lecturers like to call them. يَتَقَبَّلُونَ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ وَالصِّيَامِ وَمَا لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ فِي نَفْسٍ وَلَا مَالٍ وَلَوْ أَذَرَّتْ الصَّلَاةُ بِسَائِرِ مَا يَعْمَلُونَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَبْدَانِهِمْ لَرَفَضُوهَا كَمَا رَفَضُوا أَسْمَى الْفَرَائِضِ. They encourage prayer. They'll talk 24/7 about prayer. They'll give you all the benefits of prayer. Spirituality is great. They'll talk about family issues, how raising a child is so important, what the roles of mothers are in homes, and how effective a mother can be if his son is like Barack Obama. This was said on one of the manabir. An example of a successful mother is this very successful man. He's so great. That's the result, yeah. Salat is good. Family matters. Ghiba is bad. Don't backbite about your brother. You'll hear all this stuff. It confuses people too. Like, oh, this guy's encouraging Islam. He's causing people to pray. Yeah, that prayer is, it's not bad in and of itself, but look at the rest of it. They pray all the time. Fasting is fine. Ramadan programs will have the best ones. Iftar, the best iftar. Enjoy yourself. But as long as it doesn't harm them. Salatul Jum'ah will have three of them. Islam doesn't allow that. But we'll have three of them in the same area. But we won't talk about things that bite. Yeah.
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد.
So prayer is fine. Psalm is fine. Don't be amazed by people who come and encourage that. That's not necessarily what the companions of the Imams... Yeah, the companions of the Imams do pray, but the true prayer, the essence of prayer. Not this prayer that's just the form of prayer. Hadith started with this, that they are mura'un. It's riya. Riya. To identify this type of ideology, okay, don't look at the prayer, because that's in common. Look at the other stuff. Do they talk about what is going to cause some sort of sacrifice? Or no, when it comes to that, hush, hush. You're not even supposed to do Sha'irul Husayni. That some of the others go on the other extreme from the same movement, that they say you bleed as Sha'irul Husayni. Some of the others of the same movement say, not only we don't bleed, but we don't even beat our chest. Yes, prayer and fast is great as long as it doesn't hurt. مَا لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ فِي نَفْسٍ وَلَا مَالٍ وَلَوْ أَضَرَّتْ الصَّلَاةُ بِسَائِرِ مَا يَعْمَلُونَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَبْدَانِهِمْ لَرَفَضُوهَا كَمَا رَفَضُوا أَسْمَى الْفَرَائِضِ. If any time comes when the prayer too would cause them to have to sacrifice, okay, they're going to leave that too. The way they've left أَسْمَى الْفَرَائِضِ, the highest of the fara'id, the most important of the fara'id. وَأَشْرَفَهَا, the most noble of the fara'id, which is إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ بِهَا تُقَامُ الْفَرَائِضِ. Amr bil ma'roof wa nahy an al munkar, enjoining good and forbidding evil, where something good is not being done, when something that's right is not being done, you stand up for it, say it should be done. And when something wrong is not being, or is being done and being committed, and oppression is being committed, you stand up against it. This is the most important of the fara'id. Because of this fariza, the rest of the fara'id are going to be upheld. What is the movement of the Imam? Imam al-Husayn salamullahi alayhi, he said, I made my move for what purpose? For al-amr bil-ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. And we know for a fact, brothers and sisters, if any of us are sitting here, or any of the other schools of thought are praying today, it is because of the movement of Imam al-Husayn. So it's amr bil ma'roof wa nahi an al munkar that keeps you and I alive. Our religion is going to live if we do amr bil ma'roof wa nahi an al munkar. If you don't do amr bil ma'roof wa nahi an al munkar, we will start to gradually move towards munkar, because the lines are going to start getting blurred for us. You don't start to recognize munkar anymore. You don't see it as munkar. Who says that's wrong? When people, some of us do amr bil ma'roof wa nahi an al munkar in our communities, there's all kinds of people that come and say, who says that's wrong in the first place? They interpret it so many different ways, you start questioning yourself, is that really wrong? Well, it's blurred. The vision is blurred. You don't recognize munkar from ma'roof. Sometimes you'd be even considering Munkar as ma'roof and ma'roof as munkar. We talked about this last year. That's one of the effects of not doing amr bin ma'roof wa nahy an munkar. Hunalika yatimmu ghadabullah azza wa jal alayhim. When these people leave al-amr bil ma'roof wa nahy an munkar, that is when the wrath of Allah is going to become complete upon them. فَيَعُمُّهُمْ بِعِقَابِهِ. Even the good that are not doing أمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر will be receiving the punishment. The hadith, Prophet Shu'aib had about 100,000 people in his tribe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that I am angry at the 40,000 people in your tribe that are the fasiqeen and the 60,000 people in your tribe that are the mu'mineen. Prophet Shu'aib said, well, the fusaq I understand, but what about the mu'mineen? He says, because the mu'mineen don't do amr bil ma'roof wa nahy an munkar. Listen to this. فَيَهْلِكَ الْأَبْرَارُ فِي دَارِ الْفُجَّارُ وَالصِّغَارُ فِي دَارِ الْكِبَارِ. When this happens, when we leave أَمْرِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, the good people are going to be dying in دَارُ الْفُجَّارِ. In the cities of the Fujjar, the good will be dying as well. The little kids that are innocent, the little kids that are innocent, they don't have any sin, they'll be dying too. That's when the azab of Allah comes, that's what's going to happen. If you want to refrain from that, you got to do amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar. The Imam at this point says, innal amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar sabilul anbiya. وَمِنْهَاجُ الصُّلَحَاءِ. أمر بالمعروف النهي عن المنكر is the path of the prophets and the way the صُلَحَاء live their lives. The صُلَحَاء, the good, those that will be with the 12th Imam. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الواحي ومعدن العلم ومنتهى الحلم. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, O household of prophethood. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, O ones that the angels used to come to your homes day in and day out. These people, Ahlullah, the family of the Prophet, the household of the Prophet, are in Karbala these days. It is the 7th of Muharram. According to history books, the children from today have got to start preparing for thirst, Because the water is being cut off today. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. On the day of Ashura, in the morning the companions fought. While the companions were still alive, amongst themselves they made a deal, brothers and sisters. They said, while we're still alive, we won't allow the Bani Hashim, the household of the Prophet, be harmed and have to go to the battlefield. They sacrificed themselves before the Imam and his family. But a time came in Karbala and Ashura that all of the companions had already gone and fought. Habib was gone. Zuhair was gone. Muslim ibn Awsaja was gone. Sa'id ibn Abdullah al-Hanafi had taken the arrows. At this point, when the Bani Hashim wanted to go to the battlefield, the first one to come up and ask the Imam to go and fight is no one but the son of the Imam, Ali al-Akbar. He comes to the Imam, Ya Abata, do I have permission to go and fight? We know the way the Imam would give permissions was not that he would give it easy. A lot of times he would reject people from going to the battlefield. But this time, this is his test. Is the Imam willing to sacrifice his son? The Imam quickly says, go, Ali. But when Ali is moving towards the enemy, the Maqatil say, the Imam looked at Ali. He held his beard. Oh Allah, be witness. I'm sending to the enemy أشبه الناس خلقا وخلقا برسولك. I'm sending the one who is more similar to the Prophet in his behavior, in his looks. Narration say that when the Imam felt like he would like to see the face of the Prophet again, they would look at Ali al-Akbar. He's going to the battlefields. Imagine how the Imam would feel looking and watching Ali al-Akbar. The enemy sees Ali coming, the son of Hussein. Let's all surround him. Let's make this father feel the pain with the swords and arrows. But Ali and al-Akbar fights very hard. Some narrations say, after a few rounds, he came close to the tent. Ya Abata, al-Atashu qad qatalani. Oh father, thirst is killing me. Imam al-Hussein told him, oh son, go and find your grandfather. The Prophet is waiting for you to quench your thirst. Ali ibn al-Akbar goes. He goes to the battlefield. In a few minutes, he calls out, Ya Abata. My grandfather sends his salam to you. He's brought me water. Imam al-Husayn went towards Ali ibn al-Akbar. But this time someone else also moved to the battlefield. Hadrat Zainab realized what Imam al-Husayn is taking. She started calling, Ya al-Khayya. She ran to the battlefield on the body of Ali ibn al-Akbar. Narration says, when they arrived, they saw that قَطَّعُوهُ عِرْبًا عِرْبًا. They had cut him into pieces and mutilated him. The Imam ordered Bani Hashim to come and take the Imam and Ali ibn al-Akbar back to the tents. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdillah. Sallallahu alayka ya Mazlum. Ayyuha al-Shahid bikarbala atshana. Peace and blessings of Allah be upon you, O Imam al-Husayn, and on your household and your companions. Allahumma inna nas'aluka wa nad'uuk bismika al-azim al-a'zam al-a'z al-ajal al-akram بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. Oh Allah, we ask you to hasten the return of our Imam. O Allah, we ask you to enable us to be of the companions of our Imam. O Allah, we ask you to prolong the life of and give good health to all our maraja and especially our leader. O Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. We ask you to forgive our parents and all those who've taught us the word in Islam of their sins. O Allah, grant all the mu'mineen and mu'minat their wishes and their needs. O Allah, free all those under oppression, especially the believers, the mu'mineen and the mu'minat. Oh Allah, whatever we asked you and those that we need, we haven't mentioned, please bestow upon us. Amen. In Nabiya wa alih rahimallahu man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.